is Eddie, and I was in a call.
Planet Earth about to be recycled. Your only chance to survive or evacuate is to leave with us.
Started as an effort by a charismatic preacher to build a new society, but it ended, of course, with the tragic deaths of more than 900 people.
Please, for God's sakes, let's get on with it. We've lived as no other people have lived and loved. We've had as much of this world as you're going to get. Let's just be done with it. Let's be done with the agony of it. This is a revolutionary suicide. This is not a self-destructive suicide. So they're paying for this. They brought this upon us.
You're in a cult. I love you, and I want you out of it and with Christ. But you're...
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Cultish, Entering the Kingdom of the Cults. My name is Jeremiah Roberts. I'm here once again with Andrew, Super Sleuth Andrew, Super Sleuth of the show, back with us, and we are here in studio with Doreen Virtue, Melissa Daughtry. We've got this last part three. We're going to jump and try and tear through because you have a plane you have to catch, and so we have a strict timeline. We want to get over a couple more things, and hopefully there'll be a lot more we can obviously expand upon, and hopefully we'll be able to get someone soon who is who's from Bethel Church to be able to have a continued conversation with us, so we are looking forward to that can come to fruition. But for now, we just want to go ahead and jump into a couple of different things. And again, if I didn't say it, my name is Jeremiah Roberts, one of the co-hosts here. And as you stated before, I'm single, so...
Mary Jerry.
I know. Okay, so one thing I just wanted to just talk about real briefly, and again, this is not... I want to do this without sensationalizing thing. I just want to bring this to the attention, just to be aware of it, so we can have a conversation about it. And I think, given what's stated on This is a Bethel Resource, that, and given the concerns we have, especially you two being former New Agers, to bring it up, so... Bethel has, it's called the Alabaster Prayer House, and in fact, in our promotion, when we talked about this episode, we had a picture of it along with the Bethel Church, and it was talking about the New Age infiltrating the church. And this is where it's as someone who's a Christian understands what the purpose of worship is, and also understanding there's nothing wrong with prayer. And I want to appreciate and respect the fact that a lot of attendees at Bethel are going here. They're sincere. They have a spiritual hunger. They want to experience God. But we ultimately can't be judged by our intentions. We have to take everything that we're doing it and measuring it by the Word of God and ask, is it biblical? So throughout the physics of heaven, there's a lot of talk of sound and the sound of heaven and sound vibrations. I'm looking at you, Melissa, and you're like, mm-hmm.
That's total new thought belief.
Yep, new thought belief. Yeah. So again, so this is from Benny Johnson's website, Bill Johnson's wife, and she also co-wrote another book, which we didn't have the time to go into, but to Experience in the Heavenly Realm. We'll probably post some of that stuff on our social media, so you can kind of take a look at that and you can participate in the conversation, that light. This is just a couple of things that she states on her website talking about this prayer house. And if you scroll down a little bit, it says sounds from heaven. It says sound is vibrations that travel through the air or another medium. Releasing the sound of heaven is a very powerful weapon. One of the tools that we have found that releases that sound is the shofar. Shofars were sounded preceding a war. They were used to rally the troops for action, to call people together for prayer and repentance. And the shofar is like an air raid that alerts us to danger and summons us to action. I believe that the shofar, used in the right way, can be a powerful weapon in prophetic intercession. The sound that the shofar produces can cause a change in the spirit realm, which in turn changes our physical realm. I didn't always used to feel this way about the shofar until I began to study about them. I really like blowing the shofar outdoors. I think that they should only be blown before the worship starts and with permission. Shofars are a gathering tool for worship and war. I have learned that a shofar brings a stirring and settling all at once. And I could go on and on. We'll post more of this on social media.
That's on the website.
It
is on the website, yeah.
So, shofar. What do you guys think about this?
Nice.
That was fun a good intended. One. Yeah, good. Good fun.
But it's interesting. On the Alabaster Prayer House website,
yes.
They promote contemplative prayer,
okay.
Which is a New Age practice. And it actually came from a woman named Alice Bailey, who was a British channeler of some of the foundational theology books of the New Age, and we're talking about very heretical work. And then taking it even out of the context of the history of contemplative prayer, it is dangerous. It is about opening yourself up to experiences. Contemplative prayer is an ancient, here's on Lighthouse Trail Research, it's a belief system that uses ancient mystical practices to induce altered states of consciousness.
Yes.
Now, the Bible talks about meditation. This is where some New Agers and non-New Agers get very confused. Meditate on this book of law day and night.
Right.
You know, Psalm 1 and in Exodus, Joshua. Mm-hmm. Joshua was told the key of success in Joshua 1 was to meditate on this book of law day and night.
The law.
But that's the key, right? Is meditating on Scripture.
On Scripture.
And memorizing it and putting it on your heart. That's so different than Eastern meditation, which is very much opening yourself up to whatever comes in.
It's not an experience that you're seeking. You're meditating on God's word and his truth and seeking his will.
Right.
But you have to be in the word and know it to know that.
Contemplative prayer is akin to opening the front door of your house and saying, come in, whoever's walking by.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And then thinking the door is locked or something. Like, it's like opening up a locked door.
Because you said a prayer of protection.
Because you said a prayer of protection. And you think, or that you think you're saved and that that's good enough. And that that's, you know.
And that's the thing, too, what's dangerous is that I could say a prayer of protection. If I pull up a Ouija board, it doesn't matter that I'm a Christian. I have the Holy Spirit indwelling within me, and I could pray for that. But it's kind of like, I don't know, if you're gonna commit, like someone who's a, like Christians can commit adultery, and like they do, and it's terrible. And there's times where God convicts them and they repent. But it's like, are you gonna commit adultery beforehand? Pray for a spirit of protection? Like, it doesn't work.
And it's too obvious. You know? So instead of a Ouija board, you get an angel board.
Yeah.
Instead of tarot cards, you get angel cards. You know, and
I think it's interesting on the healing house that they have a pyramid on the top.
Like yes.
In the picture you have, the pyramid, of course, goes back to ancient civilizations. We think of the Mayans. We think of the Egyptians. We think of some of the early civilizations who believed that it would bring in universal power. That it would be a focal point.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so when they have a pyramid on top of a healing house at Bethel. I have to conclude, unless someone convinces me otherwise, that they did that for the same reason, to bring in some sort of extra power.
Yeah, that glows red at night. And I don't know if there's any, and again, I'm just noticing that. I don't want to, there's times where people sensationalize
stuff.
A lot
of conjecture.
Like, yeah, I mean, there's times where people will talk about people who are against Hillsong, and they'll take something on their stage, and now it's like this sideways triangle, and therefore they're part of the Illuminati, and that's what I want to avoid. But just given your context of being 30 years and seeing that,
well, in the New Age,
there's a definitive case there. At least I would say
at these expos I would speak at, there would always be a booth of someone selling a pyramid that you could sit inside to draw in the universal energy.
Right.
Universal energy is the oneness. Movement. It's right. Pantheism.
See, this is why we want to talk to them.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I mean, how good would how beneficial would this be if Bill Johnson was in front of us right now and we're having this conversation?
If he's spiritually blind, I'm not sure he could hear it.
But even that's the point, though, is that I mean, we can at least give him enough rope, you know, for him to at least say that yes, that's exactly what we're doing.
What's so interesting is Lindsay. Before this broadcast, we went to her and we said, okay, what has Bethel said is your problem when you're criticizing them? What are they countering with? And she said one of the things that they counter her testimony with is that she's not understanding or preaching the full gospel, which implies that they think they are.
Right.
But now you guys have read a lot of Bethel books. I only read the one. I've watched their videos. Did you find any gospel in any of the books of Bethel that you read?
Never. Not in completion, no. It was never, Jesus died for your sins, you must repent.
Yeah, the opening for me, even because I have a weird, my testimony is that I was like, I grew up in a Christian household and I had transitioned from having an understanding intellectually to having all of a sudden an understanding of the heart. But I think when I came to really understand, like, why do I believe what I believe? How am I really right before God? It was really Romans that opened my eyes. Understanding that the gospel is the righteousness of God that comes through faith. At least in the books. I mean, I'm not saying that there might be sermons out there where Chris and Bill give sermons where they articulate the gospel. That's a possibility because I haven't listened to all of them. But it seems to me when you read books like Experience, like The Glory Realms, or The Physics of Heaven, or the other one by the Traveling the Heavenly Realms or Experiencing the Heavenly
Realms.
Yeah, they all sound somewhat the same, but it's all about having some sort of transcendent supernatural experience.
Yes.
It doesn't talk about the seriousness of sin, what actually was accomplished when Christ was on the cross, mm-hmm. and that he rose from the dead 3 days later. Yeah.
That's so important, because this is something I was thinking about the Alabaster Prayer House, all right? Here's the thing, and then I'm going to go a little bit into why they would say that we probably, or they would assume that we don't preach a full gospel, right? But first, I'm going to go on the Alabaster Prayer House. I want to say this, first of all, and this is the most important thing right now. I don't need a prayer house to have a connection with God. It does Amen. Not make Jesus' death on the cross that more powerful. The veil was torn when he died.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's because of Jesus. And this is the words of Jesus. He says, but when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. All right. I can pray now. I can pray in my room. I can pray in the middle of a pagan mm-hmm. country, and I will have the same access to God, not because of my righteousness, not because of the room, not because of the pyramid, not because of sound vibrations, but because that God came in the flesh and died on the cross for our sins. And he rose again. He sits in the right hand of the Father, and he is my great high priest. And that is how I have access to the Father, because now I'm at peace with God. I can pray anywhere and have that power. Number That's two, right. when they talk about the kingdom of God, or the gospel, what they would say is that we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, but are we preaching the gospel of the kingdom? Mm-hmm. So to them, the gospel of the kingdom is actually experiencing heaven on earth.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes.
So since we don't have that fully, they would say that the heavenly manifestations of the Holy Spirit are what's going to bring that kingdom about of the kingdom of God on That's earth. Right. But I would say that Jesus Christ has authority right now. He sits at the right hand of the Father, and he's putting things underneath his feet. He brings about his kingdom mm-hmm. by his law. And if we don't go by his law, and we're desensitizing ourselves, you're not going to bring about his kingdom by personal subjective experience.
That's right.
It doesn't work that way. You preach the gospel, which bears witness to our hearts and convicts us of our sins, that causes us by the Holy Spirit, who brings the spiritually dead back to life, to actually want to observe and obey God's laws so that we could be the salt and the light in this world. And I think that's one of the big things missing from Bethel is the biggest miracle of all that is always yeah. overlooked. Is the fact that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. He came to live mm-hmm. as a man, lived a perfect life, and died for us, and he brings the spiritually dead back to life. If you don't understand your sin, you will overlook that miracle.
That's so true.
And yes. if you overlook that miracle, you're going to be looking other places to fill that yes. gap. My question for you is do you have Jesus? Do you know the King of Kings? If you don't know him, then you're going to feel like you need something different to satisfy that need, and yes. it will not work. You're going to search your whole life, but you need to humbly sit down and know that Jesus' death on the cross was enough. His grace is sufficient for you, not his miracles.
It's the golden goblet. It's the golden goblet all over again.
That's it.
Yeah.
It's final.
Preach it, Andrew. Yeah, right on. Preach it.
But you know, one of the things that Melissa and I, we have to address this, is that in the New Age, people are following the false Jesus. Right. I thought I was following Jesus. And my version of Jesus, like a lot of New Agers, was someone who said you could do whatever you want as long as you stay positive and are happy.
Yeah.
And so we call him the teddy bear Jesus.
Yes, the teddy bear Jesus.
So when you ask New Agers, they'll say, oh, I love Jesus too. I saw him in a Reiki meditation session, and he said I could use cards. We get those letters.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then the way to discount that, it's not even discounting it. It's about saying and teaching that, yeah, there's many Jesuses, but which is the one of Scripture? Yeah.
He says that at the end times, there'll be those who say that they're the Christ. They're the Christ.
Right.
Yeah.
But they're false Christs. And we are seeing that in the New Agers. We experience that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's one thing Jesus always warned, that there'll be other false Christs. Mm-hmm. Like, how do you differentiate that? And we always have those questions too.
How do you know?
Yeah. We're at the Mormon, when we're at the Renew Ministry up in Salt Lake, and, mm-hmm. and they say, well, we're the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm like, that's a good question. So what Jesus? You know, we go into that. Mm-hmm. So it's always good to talk about that. You talked about the aspect of the contemplative prayer, mm-hmm. but as far as the shofar, and there's even videos online of people doing that, what caught your attention that? Because you talked about that earlier, about the connection with the New Age as far as the shofar using.
I'm not quite sure what the shofar.
Shofar is like a horn.
Yeah, the blowing the horn, wasn't that?
No, I did.
You're the drums. You're talking about the drums.
The drums, yeah. Circle. Yeah, so the drumming circle harkens back to my experiences with someone I worked with very closely, mm-hmm. Who was a shaman. And so we would do drumming circles at my angel events.
Yeah.
We would go out on full moons, and we would drum to Grandmother Moon, we called this, and ask for favor from the moon.
Wow.
And so it was very earth-based spirituality. Mm-hmm. It's very pantheistic, and you believe that God is in this lamp, you know, God is in this arm. God is in the tree. God is in the moon. God is everywhere. Instead of God created the moon, God created the tree, God is in there.
Right.
And that's what a lot of the drumming circles are about, is this desire for power. Mm-hmm. You get the power from drumming. They don't acknowledge where your source of power is, as the Bible tells us,
yeah.
through God. And it's God's power. It's not ours. He gives us strength. He helps us to endure, to run the good race. But the power is God's. And that's the way it should be.
Mm.
If there's a pressure for us to have power and we just can't do that, mm-hmm. that's not who we are, then that's a setup for failure and a loss of faith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm not saying that even those videos, there's not like any, I don't think anyone's necessarily trying to be malicious and trying to conjure up something unintentionally, but I think that we want people who are attendees of Bethel to participate in the conversation, say, what are you doing? Like, I think there's a definitive problem when even the behaviors and the descriptions on Benny Johnson's website, it's reminding you guys immediately of where you came from.
Yeah.
And that's why it's like, this isn't a safe place to go. Or even something as simple as, again, you were talking about the drums and that behavior, like what, mm-hmm. why is that worship, that what they're doing there, why didn't it remind you of Jesus and what he did for you on the cross? It reminded you of where you came from.
Hello.
That's a problem.
Boom. And I just want to say, because I know that they are claiming that New Age stole their tools and they're stealing them back, that in the New Age, a lot of us teachers used, or they still do, use Christian terms and Bible verses. Mm-hmm. So that's not unique to some of these Bethel-like churches.
Right.
That is in the New Age. I mean, the Esther Hicks that you were, she would use Bible verses as titles.
Oh yeah, that's how I thought I was a Christian.
Asking It Is Given is one of her best-selling books.
They quote
books.
The Bible all the time. Yeah. Yes.
And they twist it because they're banking on the fact that people will not read the Bible themselves. If people in Bethel took the time to read and study the Bible, that church would be empty.
Yes, and I find it kind of silly that the more that somebody is in their Bible, the less they stay away from the stuff. And I don't find that to be any type of coincidence at all.
Yeah.
And I think it's interesting because, you know, people who are diligently studying in the Word every day typically don't, you know, dabble in this stuff in hypercharismania. They don't. It's not even something that crosses their mind.
I mean, it's not that we're saying there's no spiritual gifts for today.
This is where we separate the hyper-charismatic from the charismatic.
Right.
Because where people can, you know, claim to speak in tongues and all that, I'm really, me personally, we're not talking to them.
As long as it lines up with scripture.
As long as it lines up with scripture. It's the extreme stuff.
Yeah.
You know, there's no way you would ever really, if you're in scripture, that would be your conclusion, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, I was kind of cracking up earlier how you said, like, the one at the Sean Bowles, like, some of the worship was extra.
Some of the worship was extra. I mean, it was worship to them is not just... worship to them, from what I'm learning and understanding, is that it's beyond worship. It's about having that your mind opened. It's, you know, we're talking about going into a daze, transcending, you know, and you're trying to go into a trance. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's kind of part of it, and I could clearly see that. You know, I'm looking around and I'm observing. I'm an observer, and I felt out of place being an observer on some aspects. But I did sit in the back, and there were some more reserved people in the back, so it wasn't so bad. And to be honest, the worship was quite beautiful. It always is. It's just more, you know, there's somebody dancing, in the back, you know, there's a girl, you know, in the front, you know, and they're just more about it. And on any other context, that wouldn't be a terrible thing. It's beautiful, but it's just a little bit different whenever you look into the logistics of it.
Yeah. And a lot of people have their different type of worship styles and preferences. And so people say, so what should I listen to? What should I listen to? And that's the point where I kind of say, well, you kind of need to decide for yourself and just pray that God would give you the conviction of what to listen to, what not to listen to. I would just say one last thing before we jump on to the next subject here, is that just with the Alabaster Prayer House and talking about how shofars can alter the spirit realm, like chapter and verse, please.
Mm-hmm.
Where's that at? And if you want to talk about, you all claim to be authority, to be followers of the Lord Jesus. Well, listen to the words of your master when he says that all those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth.
Yes.
What did Jesus say? To sanctify them by thy word. Thy word is truth. So is, regardless of what you're doing, is it in conformity to the word of God? And so you need to look at what's going on, even in there. If you're trying somehow to access or alter the spirit realm or channel in the energy of heaven within this particular place, that's not in conformity at all with the Word of God.
It's a revelation, probably, that they received.
But if that's not conformity, you need to reject that revelation.
Yes.
And you need, maybe there needs to be a little change in the worship practices inside the Alabaster Prayer House.
Mm-hmm.
That's something to take a look at.
Well, in the Physics of Heaven, there was a lot of discussion about the power of sound and sound healing.
Yes.
And that was something that I did a lot of research on and wrote about in the New Age. I had a book.
I have a chapter on that in here, printed out, that you wrote about music and sound and vibration.
Yeah,
same thing.
I wrote a whole book called Solomon's Angels, which was about how Solomon built the temple with using sound vibration, the same way that Stonehenge was using levitating stones with sound.
Whoa.
I mean, so that whole discussion about sound healing in the Physics of Heaven is nothing new.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the New Age has gone round and round and round.
It's a funny name because it's not new. New Age is not new.
No, it's Genesis 3.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then that's the thing too, is that when I was reading the Benny Johnson's description of the Alabaster Prayer House on her website, you can go to the website, you can check it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed to be right on par exactly with what was said within the Physics of Heaven. So this isn't I don't think it's necessarily even a book that's just an obscure, isolated book that no one really knows about. This is really inundated, especially if you look, if indeed what Benny Johnson said is accurate about what the intention is behind the Alabaster Prayer House. So all that being said, I want to try and just quickly, we can talk about this maybe further in a future episode with you guys. Maybe we come on your show.
Yes, please.
That would be nice. Yeah.
So open invitation.
Yes. We're going to let's talk real quickly about the Y word, yoga. That's a big thing. It's like, oh man, it's like, I got Christian freedom. It's stretching. It's not anything else, all that sort of stuff. So let's.
Doreen, you want to take
that one? Well, Melissa and I made a video on why Christians should avoid yoga. And we put that title, Christians. You know, we're not convicting or confronting people outside of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only video where we have an equal number of likes and dislikes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And we have so much hate mail coming in, primarily from yoga teachers and the ones who are saying that they are Christians and they do not bow down to Hindu deities, which, of course, Stephen Bankhurst has a brilliant video on yoga. And the word yoga meaning yoked or union with the Hindu creator god.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's these poses. So there's this whole, every yoga studio you go to, including some of the Christian ones, has sun salutations. It's this cycle of poses that you do, chaturanga and warrior pose and triangle and such. And each one of those poses in Sanskrit is bowing to a Hindu deity.
Right.
Yoga Journal, which is the go-to journal of yoga teachers and people who are really serious about yoga, they themselves have a very detailed article on how each pose is for these Hindu deities. So it's not just Christians coming at them and making this up. This is on Yoga Journal website. So how many of you have done yoga? Have you done...
On the Wii Fit.
Yeah. Okay.
I think maybe one other class.
Warrior pose, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So warrior pose 2 is for Shiva. A son of Lord Shiva, the destroyer, considered the most powerful god of the Hindu pantheon. And there's this whole story about him having his hair taken out and such. And so the warrior pose is actually in honor of him, of one of Shiva's sons. So there's all these poses. Plank pose is one that probably a lot of people have done, and it's in honor of these different deities. So when people say, well, I'm doing holy yoga, which means that they are not using the Sanskrit names of these poses, and they're listening to worship music, they say, or they're saying prayer instead of at the end of every yoga session, you always say namaste, which means the God in me recognizes and honors the God in you.
Oh, man, it's terrifying.
Yeah.
I didn't really
That's what
that.
No, in New Age, we
said that at one point.
We used to say it in New Age. We thought it was so inclusive and so loving and cool to say namaste.
Right.
And so these different poses, no matter whether you put a Christian veneer over them, you are working with poses that were created to bow down to their gods. So it's no different than the book of Daniel when the people were bowing down to Nebuchadnezzar.
Right.
It's identical to that. And so if someone wants to stretch, they should look at, there's stretching systems that don't have a spiritual component. Pilates in its purest form is one of them. There's even an ex-New Age yoga teacher who's created this exercise system that's, she's really worked hard to make sure that it's not bowing down to anybody. So yoga does not belong in churches is the whole point.
Yeah.
And if you see a church that's got yoga, it's either because they don't know this or they don't care, which is even more concerning.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Yeah, and even for myself, I mean, I did yoga, and I even went, I think I went, I had a Groupon, I went to one of those, like, hot yoga studios.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was, like, honestly, I felt, like, gross after that, and I was just, no, just because it's, like, you sweat so much, and it's, like, ugh. So I don't, but even, like, the regular, even in P90X, I learned, my point of reference for that was I was doing P90X 3, like I bought the DVDs of Tony Horton and stuff, and you learn all the different warrior poses and stuff like that. But I was always kind of under the impression, well, that's, it might be a problem for those of weaker brothers or sisters that come out of the New Age, and I've got the Christian liberty, I can do all that, you know. But I think it was honestly, it was reading Stephen Bancars' book and the way he described it, where he says it's not so much a stretch, it's not so much a stretching practice that just so happens to be spiritual, but it's really a spiritual practice that just so happens to have stretching. Mm-hmm. And there's no way around it. And I thought about that. And honestly, just for me, it was just a matter of just conviction that
it's also education.
Do that.
Well, I think one of the things, if we could redo our yoga video, I would emphasize that this is idolatry. It's not about anything but breaking God's commandments about having no gods before him.
Yes.
And that's a serious violation and idolatry. A lot of the yoga studios have, if you've been to yoga studios, they have the different deity statues. They've got the on the wall. And
what's the very thing they do at the end? It's called, is it Shavasana. And that's where you're at the very, very end. You sit there. And
it's called corpse pose is what that means.
Oh, what?
Shavasana in English means corpse pose. So you're pretending to be dead while the yoga teacher is praying over you. It's a prayer in Sanskrit. Shanti, 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 they're saying, which is Sanskrit for peace. I did this for 20 years.
I never did yoga. I never knew it was spiritual.
See, no one knows that. I mean, that's the thing, too, is even, like, someone could just buy, you know, a Beachbody product and just buy, like, the P90X, and they're like, oh, Shavasana, that's just what you do, and it's just, like, fun, and it's no big deal.
Everyone who's doing yoga who has doubts about this should dig into their research, and most of all, pray for the Holy Spirit to lead you.
Well, maybe we'll do a full follow-up episode. Maybe we'll get That'd Stephen.
It's combustible topic.
I think Stephen and Doreen would be a good one on that.
And I have an ex New Age yoga teacher that we're trying to get on our channel. She would be really good.
Who knows? But we're going to work on getting Stephen down here.
Where
are you at, Stephen?
We've been trying to get him down here.
Let's get him to ReformaCon.
Okay. All right, sounds good. So one last thing, I know you were kind of wrapping on the end here. You got a plane to catch. So one last topic.
Enneagram.
So our good friends at Sheologians, who's a part of the studio, joined Summer, did an episode on this, but you definitely should check that out. Just talk to us real quickly. What is it? Why are Christians attracted to it? How is it in the church? And why should we avoid it? In a super short summary.
Okay.
And we'll
do
a follow-up.
So the Enneagram, in its beginning, was by a man named Claudio Naranjo.
Okay.
Claudio Naranjo, who admitted, and I can get you the footage if you'd like, to inventing the Enneagram personality test through automatic writing, which is channeling.
Yeah.
Okay? And so he said he observed to back up his automatic writing to find that it was accurate. So it came up with 9 different personality traits. And you get a number when you take this test, and it's similar to Myers-Briggs, but it's got this real spiritual component. And what's going on is it was originally just used in New Age and Catholic churches. A book came out that said the Christian, I can't remember the exact title, but the Christian response to the Enneagram, and it was by Richard Rohr, who's himself has occultic and New Age roots, and he popularized it for Christians because what it is people want to know about themselves, right? We're egocentric beings, and we have that sinful heart, that sinful nature. So people want to know me, who's me, and they want to identify, oh, I'm an 8. Ooh, I'm special. Let me find other 8s to hang out with, and 9s and 1s.
Yeah.
And Marcia Montenegro is really the expert on this. She's done a lot of good work with American Gospel folks and did a video on it herself. But the bottom line is Enneagram is does not have Christian basis. It does not belong in Christian churches at all.
Steer clear.
Steer clear. I'm still learning about it.
Yeah.
We're going to have Marcia on and see what she can teach us about it. Because I have a lot of questions because people ask us all the time.
Well, I mean, if you just
I have to get educated first.
If you look at the chart of the Enneagram, isn't that a pentagram?
It looks like a pentagram.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Dude, when we were up in Salt Lake City, we drove up to that.
Everywhere.
We drove up to a church that had that exact symbol, like right outside. I think it was the Salt Lake State Capitol right across the street.
Yeah.
That's in our vlog. If you check out Cultish Embedded episode 3.
A video of it.
Yeah.
Even brief history of it.
Yeah. Speaking of Cultish Embedded, I think what we're going to do by the time you've listened to this podcast, we'll have like a little vlog going on. You guys vlogged. We vlogged.
It's going to be interesting to see how it turns out.
Yeah. So I'm excited to see how that goes.
Vlog it up.
Wow. So I feel like we covered a lot of ground.
Mm-hmm.
We barely scratched the surface.
Yes, always.
For those of you who ever want to know about podcasting is that time goes by so fast.
Yes.
You sometimes never really know what you're going to say until you actually sit down and you just bounce ideas off of each other. And that's the beauty and flow of a wonderful organic conversation. So that being said, we hope that you guys have really enjoyed this part of this conversation. I hope it's going to be constructive and productive. And I can't think of a third thing that's going to rhyme with it, but that's just how it goes. But oh my goodness, Doreen, what a blessing to have you here.
Amazing.
To see you in person. Oh, and it's just
love you guys.
Yeah,
I love you too.
Yeah, it's great. And Melissa, it's good to finally meet you in the flesh, and and I'm excited for how our friendship and working with you guys is going to develop. And hopefully
I'm sure we'll team up soon.
Partnership almost.
Absolutely. And so again,
it is a partnership.
Yes. So for all of you who have listened in, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this series. Again, I feel like we barely scratched the surface, but again, these are just things that are here. Just to recap, we've got a revival going on. People are coming by the truckloads out of the new age, Lord willing, most of them to know Jesus. And then they're trying to find good churches. So the question is, what's your church like? We all need to make sure that wherever they land needs to be a good and safe place where you land. So again, if you're attending Bethel, or if you're in favor of them, look at these things that we're talking about. Let's have a conversation. Let's talk about what we can do to help you get in a position to where you could be a safe place for New Agers to land. Right now, the vote is no, but we're letting you know so there can be a solution. I don't want to live in the problem. I want to live in the solution.
Right.
So let's have a conversation. Let's talk. Let's figure out what we can do, and hopefully you'll be able to participate in this conversation. So all that being said, thank you guys for listening. Any last words from any one of you before I run you to the airport, Melissa? Or
no, I'm good. Just
wrapped up here?
Study 1 John 4.
Yes. Yeah. Test of spirits, y'all.
Test of spirits.
Remember that there's good supernatural, there's bad supernatural. There's good guys and bad guys. Yeah. The only way you can find out the difference between the good guys and bad guys is to look at the ultimate supernatural resource,
Word of God.
Mm-hmm. And then you can also find and also keep your focus on the ultimate supernatural good guy, which is the treasure of all wisdom and knowledge, Jesus. So
praise the Lord.
That being said, thank you guys for listening. We'll talk to you guys next time on Cultish, where we enter into the kingdom of the cults.